Honorable Rauf Hakim, you have 20 minutes. Order, please. Niyojya Karaka Sabha Sabhapathithumiya Moolasanayata Paminetha.
Karumanthithuma Katakaran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Honorable Deputy Chairman of Committees, Honorable Bimal Ratnayake, the Leader of the House, brought to our notice the passing away of one of our former distinguished Secretaries General, Mr. Nihal Seniviratne. I would like to add my tribute to him from the opposition. Particularly, I was fortunate to have been in the same position you are holding, the Deputy Chairman of Committee's position, when I entered Parliament way back in 1994. When I came to this House as a fresher and was expected to preside over the House, Mr. Nihal Seniviratne's presence was a great strength to me as the then Secretary General of Parliament. Everybody knows, in the long line of several Secretaries General, Mr. Nihal Seniviratne did a yeoman's service and was one of the finest gentlemen who served this House. And I had many interesting engagements with him, particularly when he rises from the official's chair to advise the chair on many matters. He had occasionally, several times, shared interesting anecdotes with me about happenings in the House in the past and what would happen in the future. And he was a very fine gentleman, and he remained a very loyal royalist as well, as we all were from the same school but different generations. All royalists will remember that he served colleges every event with dedication as a dedicated member of a Royal College Union. He was seen in every important matches, be it the Bradby Shield or the Royal Thomian match. So therefore, I would like to pay my tribute to this fine gentleman who served this assembly for many long years. I would also like to convey my condolences to his family, particularly his son, Satyajit, who was my contemporary in Royal College as well. Having said that, may I also, I am quite conscious that as the opening speaker on this important amendment to the Colombo Port City Economic Commission Act, I'm expected to properly dissect the provisions that are expected to be debated today. But before I come to that, I would like to digress for a moment about the recent cyclone disaster, Dithwa cyclone disaster, and the in the aftermath, we found several neighboring countries, India, Pakistan, several others, sent their rapid deployment forces to this country to assist us. In that lot, I must remember with gratitude the service of the search and rescue mission from the United Arab Emirates, because we had the opportunity of watching how what a expert and efficient service they rendered to the people of Sri Lanka. I had this privilege of seeing them work in areas such as Deltota. Deltota and Galaha area was totally cut off from the rest of the country because of severe, massive landslides everywhere. So we were unable to reach Deltota for almost a week. And this mission, who came there, assisted us in the search and rescue mission, with such efficiency. And we also remember Mr. Munir Sadik, a member of the Pradeshik Sabha Deltota, representing the Samagi Janabelavegia, who coordinated this visit. They came there, had meetings in the district divisional secretariat, and went all over the place and assisted in the rescue missions, as well as providing dry rations and various other assistance to the affected people of the area. And they came there on the December 10th and travelled all over. Particularly, they looked at the hospital in Deltota. They looked at several necessary infrastructure improvements that are lacking in the area, particularly the water supply scheme, school buildings, and they have, of course, made a provisional promise that they would convey to their government and try and see whether the whether for the hospital to their development and then water supply scheme for that area as well, and to also assist in trying to set up industries to help in finding employment, productive employment for the people of the area, and also including resettlement for the people. Many government lands that are available in the area, when resettlement takes place for people who have been affected, who cannot return to their original homes, there had been promises made. I would like to acknowledge their good work in areas such as Deltota and various other areas. And I would also like to thank the Rapid Deployment Force from India and Pakistan, who also did the similar service to all the affected people in our area. And I would like to specially thank the Emir of United Arab Emirates, Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, and the embassy, for having sent this particular rescue and search mission, who served us efficiently. And this is, once again, I would like to convey the gratitude of Sri Lankans and the government to such a wonderful mission. Having said that, I would also like to digress a little more on another issue concerning the same cyclone situation which affected the Karativu area in Putlam. Karativu Sinna Nagavillu Pradesatil Nadanda Anarthatin Karanamaga Angu Mika Mosa Maga Pala Udangal Innum Nir Vattamal Ninjalavu Nir Tengi Nitkandra Uru Abayakaraman Illamil Irvatandu Vidhalaku Mail in the Karativu Pradesatil Sinna Nagavillu Pradesatil Innum Irundhundrikrade Yenda Vivakaram. Near to Paralamandatile, Arasadarapu Paralamand Urupin River, either Unmaika Purambana the end of Vahil, or Kutai Chedranda in Badu, Mihon Kavale Kuriadu, Kandana Tukuriadu, and the Naning Sulivika Vimbaran, and the Padikapata Makkal, Tangalakana, Mart, Vidigal Chamandamaha, Innum, Angalai to Kundrakara Hill, Urumadam Kadandam, Innum near Vataville and the Karnatinal. அவர்களுக்கு வீடுகளில் வசிக்க முடியாத நிலையில் அரசு நிலங்கள் வீடுகளில் பிரித்து கொடுப்பது சம்பந்தமாகவும் இன்னும் அரசாங்கம் நடவடிக்கை எடுக்கவில்லை என்ற குற்றச்சாட்டை அவர்கள் சொல்லிக் கொண்டிருக்கிறார்கள். இதற்கு மாற்றமாக நேற்று பேசிய பாராளுமன்ற உறுப்பினர் அதை மறுதலித்து பேசியது குறித்து என்னுடைய கவலையை நான் தெரிவித்துக் கொள்ள விரும்புகிறேன். இன்னும் அந்த பிரதேசத்தில் தண்ணி வற்றிவிட்டதாக சொன்னாலும் அது வற்றவில்லை என்ற விவகாரத்தை அது உண்மைக்கு புறம்பானது என்பதை இங்கு என்னோடு இருக்கிற சக பாராளுமன்ற உறுப்பினர் அங்கு பிரதேசத்துக்கு சென்ற சகோதரர் ஹிஸ்புல்லா அவர்களும் உறுதிப்படுத்துகிறார்கள் என்று நான் சொல்லி வைக்க விரும்புகிறேன். Mrs. Honorable Deputy Chairman of Committees, may I come to the subject matter that we are discussing today, that relates to the amendments to the Port City Economic Commission Act. As a matter of fact, I think we are trying to bring these amendments in order to get away from the situation where we were in a very indeterminate few months where no regulations were enacted, regulations had lapsed, and therefore new regulations had to be enacted. And this situation has created different perceptions among even the investors. Therefore, at least now, we have brought some clarity through these amendments. But however, I must point out here, perhaps these are being brought out to please the IMF. International Monetary Fund may be having their strictures and wanting us to increase our revenue and are looking at these issues with a different approach. But in negotiating with them, whether we have done justice to the investment climate in this country, particularly a project like the Port City Economic Commission and the Colombo Port City need to have a competitive concessionary framework when you compare with the rest of the world. Now you look at Macau or even Mauritius or many other places, be it Dubai, Singapore, right? When you look at the comparative concessions offered, we seem to be in a position where we may not be able to attract such investments if we go on to reduce the concessions that has already been incorporated previously. Now, all of this has been done to please the IMF. Now, look at here. Now, I have before me a statement that will be published in the Ceylon Daily, the Daily Mirror, by Mr. Arjuna Herat, the chairman of the Board of Investment. He says, IMF acts as biggest impediment in drawing foreign direct investment to Sri Lanka as policies render country unattractive. This is their own current chairman of the Board of Investment, who says, now he's tendering his resignation, he says. Now, Arjuna Herat, chairman of Board of Investment, the one-stop shop for attracting investments in December, announced that he would step down from his post by the end of this month, just under 16 months into his tenure. Any tax incentive that the BOI wants to offer beyond what is currently there needs the IMF rubber stamp. Sri Lanka does not offer any compelling reason for global industrialists or investors to relocate to Sri Lanka with its current tax policy and challenges. And this is an article that was there in the Daily Mirror. Such is the situation. If such is the situation, your own chairman of the Board of Investment is saying this about the IMF. So what type of negotiations have you done with the IMF? In fact, yesterday at the Committee on Public Finance, we, in fact, to a certain extent, questioned the officials who came on behalf of the Port City Commission. Of course, the chairman, Mr. Harsha Amrasekara, was abroad and he couldn't come, but he had come on a previous occasion. They shared many of their sentiments with us. And we could see there was also some convergence among the members themselves. It was quite evident. Some of us members who were yesterday observed that, because there was a difference of opinion among the members of the commission itself whether these new revised incentives would be enough to attract investments to our country. Because I can go into detail about such proposals. We saw many members, in fact, yesterday we had members like Dr. Harsha Subhasinghe, who himself is a very experienced investor. He has his own firm in Dubai and various other places. So they themselves had some difference of opinion whether this new incentive scheme would be enough to attract, because he was urging that we must have a 0% interest, 0% duty or income tax levy to those people. Even the secondary investments that are coming should have that particular provision for employees. Now, if employees are to pay 36% duty, 36% income tax, who will relocate here? This is the issue. So our incentives that we have now revised, though it stands at 7.5% for IT industries, if IT firm relocates here and wants to export their products abroad, well, they will be charged 7.5%. Whereas outside this special economic zone, they will be charging 15%. This is why they said, because there is 15% there, we'll make it more rational and bring it as 7.5%. Whereas there are other economic zones elsewhere in the country who charge only 0%. You see, there is no charge at all, no income tax at all. So who will come and relocate here? So this is the whole problem. So whereas IMF is concerned, we should have had been a much more robust negotiation with them to force their hand to see that the existing concession should have continued. So whereas now we have revised it and brought it to 7.5%, which again is uncompetitive when you compare with other zones. Now, when it comes to the investment themselves, we raised various questions from those who have come there. Mr. Harshamrasekara, who is a very prominent counsel, is the President's counsel, a friend of mine as well, and friend of chairman of the Committee on Public Finance. They came and explained, but they were also somewhat, there was, you could see an inhibition in their minds about this would be sufficient for them to attract, though they showed some, well, of course, the Director General being the Director General, having been acting Director General for some time, a fine gentleman himself, but of course, he had to sing for his supper. We can't blame him. He says he was, of course, showing some confidence that, well, we will be able to do something. But when we look at the entire portfolio of the real estate development, now there is they are expecting by these investment at least $14 billion to come. Now they are expecting this $14 billion to come if all the 74 plots are given out and developments take place. And with the $14 billion coming in, they are expecting another further value addition to the economy of further economic advantages to the tune of almost 13 billion. So altogether we are in the range of $30 billion could come in if all the real estate plots are taken and developments do happen. But when we question them, how much of it has already come? They say commitments have come and we are expecting some of the developers, only three or four of them, in the first quarter, whether they will start work. We are hoping upon hope that they will start work, at least these four developers. One is a marina development and the other is a residential parcel and a mixed development parcel, including another parcel they are expecting, a hotel parcel, which has still not fully committed. So all of which, they say that total investment they are expecting among all the four parcels. Yes, if all these four parcels become a reality, they can raise only one, they will bring in only $1.2 billion. Whereas they are expecting $14 billion. Of a small pittance is going to come. And of which, now if they look at the value-added advantage of this development, that's almost another $13 billion they're expecting if all the investments do become a reality. So that again is a moot point, because then, in fact, the chairman advised that they speak to the statistics department and see whether realistically the value addition to the economy would be in the range of $13 billion. $13 billion is our entire economy is about $100 billion. So that is about 13% of our GDP. So that's a massive change, and it will be welcome to the economy if this happens. But then with this kind of incentives offered, having revised or downsized the incentive that we had originally given, whether there will be investor confidence in the country's infrastructure sector, particularly this special economic zone that they have set up.
Nobody will come.
Hardly anybody would come. This is the, no, we all of us wish that the dream of the government materializes, because all of us want the investors to come here. We are not saying this, but only thing, we are only sharing our inhibitions, which were also shared by the chairman and a few other members of the commission themselves. Because they are experienced people who are leading business people. The chairman himself is a who had been advisor to many business organizations in the country. So, Yes, therefore, having shared all those observations, I would say it's only, let's hope that the dream of this government would materialize finally, and these new regulations that are being gazetted would be sufficient enough for to attract sufficient investment to improve our economy. Thank you.